beginning of Perek Layachbar, the Gemara comments on the Mishnah that you have shibudim, the Shechedim have shibudim, reciprocal obligations, not to have too much moisture near their wall or near their bar, because it's going to ruin the other one's bar, not to have too much heat, havla, the moisture the Gemara calls masunta. Then havla means if you have heat near the wall, it can ruin the wall. And then the Gemara has also, if you're going to have drilling, so the drilling can shake the wall and ruin the wall, near a bar. The drilling can weaken the bar on the other side. Here the Mishnah continues on the bottom of Chof on the base. Mishnah continues with noise. If someone's going to start a business and he's going to have 1,000 customers coming to the backyard every day, so that's terrible. It's going to be noise and it's going to be crowded. So there's a shibudei shcheidim. It's understood you're not allowed to do that. So that's what the Mishnah says. Chanusha bechotzer. One wants to open up a shop and it's going to have people coming all the time. Yochel limchas biyad v'lamala eni yochel ishen mikol anachnos mikol ayutz. There's too much noise. So you're not allowed to make too much noise. Not allowed to make noise. Avalosa kelim. Yotze mecher betoch hashuk. But if he's going to manufacture kelim and then he's going to go sell it in the shuk, that's okay. But he's going to have a chanus in the chotzer and the customers are going to come into the chotzer, that's going to be too noisy, he has no right. And then the sefer of the Mishnah seems to contradict the ration of Mishnah. Ve'eni ochel limchas b'er olama, eni ochel ish, lami kol ha-patish, lami kol ha-rechayim, lami kol ha-tinoikas. So the kol ha-tinoikas, that seems to contradict the ration of the Mishnah. So that's the Gemara's question. Mashna ration, mashna sefer. And the sefer says, eni ochel limchas, because of the noise of the tinoikas. And the ration says, yochel limchas, it can be mochel. So the Gemara presents two suggestions how to read the Mishnah. Omer, Abaye Seif, Alsan L'chotzer Acheretz. If it's in the same chotzer, the noise is not allowed. But if it's in a different chotzer, let's say my neighbors across the street from me, that's a totally different chotzer, but they blast the radio at 3 o'clock at night, keeps everybody awake. So that's the same as Bosal Chotzer. If they want to play the radio softly across the street, it won't bother me. But they're going to blast the radio outside into the street. That's like Bosal Chotzer. So Chotzer Acheres, if you have a little bit of noise there, that little bit of noise is not going to interfere with this chot. That's what Rabbi says. Rabbi says it doesn't seem to be the pshat of the Mishnah because Iker Chotzer Menos Sefer. It doesn't say it's a different Chotzer. Yehochi, if Abai is right, listen to Chotzer Acheres Mutter. Doesn't say that in the Sefer. Elamai Rabban, no, Sefer is a special takana of Yeshua ben Gamla. Sefer Hasan Tanoik Shah Beis Rabban, what are the Tanoikas doing there? Not that he's selling candies and the children are coming all day and buying candies in the store. No, that he has a right to be Mocha, that's in the Reisha. The Tanoikas are coming to learn there. That's a special takana, Hefke Bezna Hefke, special takana of Yeshua ben Gamla. He made a takana that you have to encourage people to have schools, education in schools. The din originally was the Jewish people were the first people in the world to be interested in education. But originally it was, Elimarta Masnaz Benechem, you teach your own children, teach your grandchildren. You're not mechuyev to have public education for the whole Klal Yisrael. Yeshua ben Gamla changed it. Domer Rab Yuda Marab Baram Schora Aser Ish Letov Yeshua ben Gamla Shmo. Tosis points out he was the kind of the Gemara in Tosis Tap Tosis quotes the Gemara in Yevamos condemns him. Tosis says he was a big tzaddik, but tzaddik Amahaya, he was a big tzaddik and he made this takana of education for everybody. But it happens that there were other people who were more worthy. There were others who were more worthy to become appointed kohen gadol, and his wife was a rich woman, so she paid to see to it that he should be appointed as the kohen gadol. So that wasn't right on his part, but otherwise he was a wonderful person, and he made this wonderful takana. And if not for him, the whole Torah would have been forgotten. Shebetchil, originally the Jews followed the din of the Torah Mishesh La, Malam the Torah Mishesh La, Lohaya Lamitara, Lamarta Masmez Benechem. Each father has to teach his own child. And then his kinu, so what are you going to do if the father is not learned? His kinu Shehu Mashiv and Malam the Tanerkis Yerushalayim. So originally, before the days of Yeshua ben Gavla, they made schools in Yerushalayim. Why should Torah be in Yerushalayim? Based on the pasuk in Navi, Ki Mitzion Teitz Aser, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is supposed to be the center of learning. Okay, so that's fine if you have a father who makes a living, who can support to send you to the dormitory in Yerushalayim. But Dayin, that's good for those people who have a father. Mishesh Lav Hayim Aleihem Alamdo. The father will bring him to Yerushalayim. He'll stay in the dormitory there and learn. Mishein Lav Hayosim. So the Yisraelim didn't have anybody paying for them to stay learning in Yerushalayim. So originally they made a takana, a plach is a region, and every region with many cities in the plach, every region would have a yeshiva starting from the age of 16, 17, machnis masik, and then tezayin, and then yudzayin, all the teenagers, 16, 17. So that was fine. Right there also, if the father is sending the children there. Mishoya Rabbi Koisolov at the age of 16, 17, they may not get along with each other. So if the Rebbe didn't like him, Mevayit Bo Viyotzo, so the Talmud, the Rebbe would kick the student out. Mevayit Bo, the Rebbe would kick the student out from the yeshiva. Achabay Yeshua Ben Gamla, V'tikein, no, you don't start educating the children at the age of 16, 17. Start from the age of 5 or 6, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ben Chomish LaMikra. So here, the Gemara is somehow ignored. That's what Tosis is asking. The Gemara is ignoring the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ben Chomish LaMikra, Ben Esa LaMishnah. At the age of 5, between the age of 5 and 10, the Tanoim felt that the child's mind is able to pick up the whole Tanakh. So he used to learn Tanakh from the age of 5 to 10. Started from the age of 10, they would teach the children Mishnayos, all the Mishnayos, not just have the dinim. So they would know all the dinim. They wouldn't necessarily understand the reason for the dinim, but just know what the dinim were. Then from the age of 15, the child's mind is sufficiently developed that he can understand the ins and the out and understand Talmud, understand Gemara. That's what the Mishnah has been, Chamesh Esrei, the Talmud, because the child's mind is not really prepared to understand Gemara at an earlier age. It's one of the big problems now in all the yeshivas all over the United States, I guess all over the world. The parents are pushing that they want their children to learn Gemara at a younger age. The children are not really able to understand Gemara at a younger age. So they pressure the menial of the school, they pressure the principal, that if they don't teach Gemara in the sixth grade, when the child doesn't understand the word of Gemara, doesn't understand anything about it, they're going to take the child out and put him in a different school. So all the principals give in to the parents. They shouldn't give in, and it's a big mistake because parents don't understand. The child is not prepared to understand Gemara at such a young age. So that's so in the days of the Tanaim, they started teaching the children. Those who were ready for it, they could teach them. Ben Chomish LaMikra, Tosfos quotes the Mishnah here, Bebotzir. Ben Chomish LaMikra. Here the Gemara doesn't say Ben Chomish, the Gemara ignores that. So the Gemara says, Achabar Yishub Ben Gamla, and he gave his contribution, V'tikan Shehu Moshivim, V'lam Deitenekes, B'chol Medina, or Medina B'chol Yaviyah. Medina here in the Gemara doesn't mean a country. Medina means, like in Megillah says, the word Medina means a big metropolis, a big city. New York City is a Medina. Tinek is probably in here. It's not a Medina. A big city is called a Medina, and a little city is called an ear. So they made a takana that they have melamde tinoikas for young children, elementary school. Umachnis masin keben sheish keben sheva, at the age of 6 or 7, they have the children all the whole day. It says in the Mishnah ben chamesh lemikra. So Tosfos says, they quote the Gemara in Ksubas, that if it's bebori, if the child is a healthy child, then he can discipline him. They should start learning Chumash at the age of 5. Usually the children are not going to be so disciplined. So if he's not such a bar, he's not so healthy, And it's not healthy to break, to force children at a very young age to be so disciplined. So then from the age of six, seven, the Gemara says, before the age of six, that's what I was going to quote, Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Marta, before the age of six, Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas was a Melamitinoi, because we had it in the first parak. Rashi refers you back, had it in the first parak. And Rav recommended to him he shouldn't take any children to his cheder, to his elementary school, before the age of six. If the child is disciplined, so the father should teach him Chumash from the age of five. But to force the kid to go to school, that's a little too much from the age of five. So in the age of six or seven, it's shaykh to talk about that. So that's the public education that Yeshua ben Gamla introduced. So then the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Namashmo Bashelas Ad Shis until the age of six, Loite Kabel. Don't accept the students. You can't discipline them. They're too young, and it's not fair. The Kavi Elach after the age of six or seven, Kabil, you should accept the students. The Sofer Leketura, try to stuff them as much as possible. The same Gemara appears in Ksubas. They tell you on the side Ksubas Dafnun, and there the Girsa is not for Asvile. There the Girsa is Sofile. Stuff him like a shore." Just like a shore, for sometimes you force feed the behemoths and you make them fatter. So too, they usually force feed birds, chickens. And sometimes they force feed them so much that it makes a neck of innovation, makes a whole innovation, makes an innovation, makes it a trefa or novella. Shaila, what is the kubis innovation? Big shaila, whether it's novella or trefa. So he says you should force feed the children and they can absorb much more than people think. Young children, you can teach them the whole Tanakh to the age of 5 and 10. If you try to push them, so unless they're wild, but if they're not wild, they can pick up an awful lot. Their mind is able to absorb a lot. Shaila said you have to discipline the children. Sometimes you have to give petch. Sometimes you have to smack them. So today, it's out of style to smack the children. But In Mishle it says, Chosav Shifte Sayne Beno. Sometimes you have to discipline the child by giving pech. So that's what the Omalei Rav Lashmo Bashelas. So Rav was guiding this Malamitinoi because he says, Kimochas Leinukam, when you have to hit a child, Lotimchele Ela Barakas of the Messiah. You shouldn't take your belt off and whip the kid. That's too much. The little children. He's dealing with 7 year olds, 8 year olds. He says, you should hit him with the arkas of the Masana, with a shoe strap, with a shoelace. He should know that he's being punished, and there shouldn't be too big a punishment. Arkas of the Masana. The kori kori, if the child will read, it'll be good. The lo kori, and if he doesn't want to read, the kid is rebellious. The lo kori, let him stay in the class, and he'll be chavrusa. He'll be friendly with the others, and the others are learning how to read. The others are picking up. So ultimately, he'll also pick up. So the Gemara says that the second half of the Mishnah, where it says that the other neighbors cannot complain about the kol ha'tinokos, doesn't mean the kol ha'tinokos who are coming to shop and buy ice cream and candy and pretzels and everything in the chanus. No, the other chanus and the kids are going to make noise all day long. The neighbors have a right to protest. It's talking the kol ha'tinokos. There's a school there. So that's a takana, hefker bezna hefker. Yeshua ben Gamla got the bezin to make hefker, that no one has a right. This is should have been a schus and dini mamas. I'm entitled to quiet in my chotzer. So they made hefker bezna hefker. You're not entitled to quiet. If the Rebbe is teaching Torah, so that takes precedence. So the Gemara says, Meisve, how can you say that? Echem min hachotzer, it says in the Braisa, Echem min hachotzer should be kishlas is rofi, oh my God, I'm elamiti noikos. Wants to become a doctor, a bloodletter, or a parnasa, there's going to be big crowds of people coming every day. It says they do have a right to prevent them. So it says he wants to be a malamitinaikas. It says before that you're not allowed to everything. No, he's going to teach him mathematics, he's going to teach him history, he's going to teach him, Ben Geshen says, he's going to teach him mikra, how to read English. Or he's going to teach refuah, he's going to teach medicine, he's going to teach something other than Torah. But if he's teaching Torah, then it's mutah. So when it says malamitinaikas, it doesn't mean he's teaching Torah. Malamitinaikas, nachrim, is teaching a mikra, how to read English, or he's teaching refuah. two people have a chotzer b'shutvus. Bikesh ma'am lasses reife uman gardi malamitin chaver me'akev alav. It says malamitin oikos. Gemara said the same thing. The second price is the same as the first price. Ochanam b'tin oikos dakin goyishe goyishe tin oikos. He's not teaching them third. In fact, Gemara, no, but there's a beferishe price that says. Gemara says, Toshma, another kasha. You're not allowed to rent it out to someone who's going to become a doctor, woman, gardi, sofer Yehudi. The sofer Aramai, sofer Yehudi isn't the sofer Yehudi a Jewish rabbi who's teaching Torah to the children? Isn't that what it means? What is a sofer Yehudi? Sofer Aramai means a goyisher teacher, and a sofer Yehudi means a Jewish teacher. A Jewish teacher probably means that he's teaching Torah. The Gemara says, no, Hochem Askin on the Sofer Mosa. What exactly does that mean? So there are Bene Gershom on the side, and Tosfos points this out. Dibra Mascha, the Sofer Mosa. Bene Gershom had a Girsa that it doesn't say Sofer Samach Vav Pei Resh, it says Samach Pei Resh. So originally the Gemara thought that the correct reading of the word is Sofer. He's a teacher. They were sofrim in Tanakh, the Talmid Chacham Elamnik Shmam Sofrim. In Dibra Yomim, the Talmid Chachamim from the days of the Tanakh are referred to as sofrim. So the Gemara has a comment in Maseches Shabbos. Elamnik Shmam Sofrim, She Sofrim Kolosios Shabbatur. They counted in the days of the early days of the Tanakh, they would count every word in the Chumash. So Sofer Masa means a Malamid, who's teaching Tanakh and he knows it so well, he can count every word. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about, so one Girsa has it, the Sapar Masa, he's the barber for the whole city. The barber is going to have people waiting there, making noise the whole time. It doesn't mean a Sofer, it means a Sapar. Yeah. Tosfos is not happy with that because the Girsa that they had, Girsa of the Tosfos, but we have the Girsa, has a Vav in the word Sofer. So it doesn't mean a Sapar. So means a sofer. So what's a sofer masa? So Rashi and Tosfos learn sofer means that he's a scribe. What is he scribing about? What is he writing? So Rashi learns he's writing Sifrei Torah. So Tosfos says, how can it be? Rashi has on the top of Amud Beis, where's the Gemara? Let's say you hire a secretary, and the secretary is doesn't type the letters the way you like them, and they don't mail it in time. They're lazy, they're slow in mailing it. So you have to warn the secretary, please, I want you to type the letter like this. You have to warn him a few times. I'd like it to be like this. If you don't warn the secretary in advance, or any other person who has a job, as I have a painter in the house, and I ask him, what is it going to look like? So he shows me. Then he starts painting the house. I'm not happy. So I have to tell him, I'm not happy. I don't want it to be bad. I want it my way. So if you warn him a few times and he doesn't listen, then you have a right to fire him. But if you didn't warn him in advance, you have no right to fire him. Unless the Gemara says, on Amud Beis, here, around 10 lines from the top, the line begins with the word, the previous line ends with the words, V'omar Rava, and this is around 10 lines from the top, Mikri Yenuka, Shasla Tapcha Umna, Seifam Asa, Kulam Kemusma, V'yam Demninu. There's certain people, you don't have to warn them in advance if they're not doing a good job in order to be able to fire them. If he's making Chloda de Milsa, what's the rule? When do you not have to warn him in advance? Let's say, if the doctor doesn't know how to treat the patient, and he killed, a few patients died from the doctor. So you say, no, you have to warn him three times in advance. You have to wait till three patients die, that the hospital has a right to fire him if the patients are dying, or a mile. The mother does a bris mila and the babies die. So you don't have to wait till three babies die. One baby dies, unless you think that it's hemophilia. Then it's not the fault of the mother. But if one patient dies, that's abseda lalohada. It's irreversible. Or let's say, what else? Mikri yinuka. He's teaching Torah to the children. And he's teaching incorrectly. And he's not doing a good job. So he wasted a half a year with the kids. We didn't find out till later that he wasted a whole week. And that time is never going to come. The week that it wasted from the children's education will never be able to be retrieved. They're never going to be able to catch up that week that they missed. So the Gemara says, whenever, or let's say he plants for the Bnei Ho'ir, he's a gardener, and he does planting, and he does a poor job. He does a lousy job. So he messed up for the whole city. So whenever it's Pseida de Lehodar, it's an irreversible Hepsid Mammon, then it's self-understood that it Musim V'yomdin. You don't have to warn him in advance to have the right to fire him. You have a right to fire him. So it says in the Braisa that one of the people who you have the right to fire is a Sefer Masa. What is the Sefer Masa? What is it? Pseida de Lehodar? So Rashi learns Sefer Masa. That Rashi is about seven lines from the top. So he says, if the doctor kills the patient, so the moel killed the patient. But sefer cause of sefer Torah b'tos. The sefer wrote sefer Torah, and he has mistakes in the sefer Torah. So that's a pseudo lehoda. That's what it means sefer masa. So Tosis quotes that Rashi. Tosis on Amud Aleph, the sefer masa. They don't like the girsa that the Rabbeinu Chananel has of the word sapor. Without a vav, because they give something more that it does have a vav, so you can't read sapor. They don't. So sefer masa means a scribe, a lavlor. But what is he a scribe about? So Tosfos said they don't like what Rashi said. It is sefer. He writes sefer Torah. So why is that a pseudah lahoda? Well, have him correct all the mistakes in the sefer Torah. It's not a pseudah. It's not irreversible. If the patients die, the moyel is killing babies. That's one thing. Or if the Malamed is teaching good students and he messed up, we didn't catch it for a whole week or a whole month. So the kids wasted a whole week of their lives. They didn't learn properly. But if the Sefer wrote a whole Sefer Torah, has a couple of mistakes here and there, so why is it so terrible? The Tosfos says, no, Sefer Masa means, hey, what's the top Tosfos? Top Tosfos on Amud Beis. Lokom HaShapirish B'Kuntres Kosev Sifrei Torahs B'Tois. Dein Zeb Seder D'Lohad Yecholam L'Hagiyo. Correct it. Elok it appreciously, yeah, like Tosfos wrote on Amud Aleph, the Ramaska of the Sefer Masa means he writes shtaris for the Balabatim. And he wrote the wrong information in the shtar. Instead of writing that Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, he wrote that Reuven lent Shimon $100. He's mopsed me. The guy's not going to pay $1,000. If the shtar only says $100, he's going to try to get away with not paying the full amount. People. Even if you know in your heart that you're chayv to pay the money, but if the other guy can't prove it, you're going to try to get away with it. So if he made a mistake in filling out the shtaris, and it caused a hepsid, that's a pseudah lahoda. You lost all of your money. So then you have a right to fire him without any warning in advance. That's what it says. These people that it's a pseudah lahoda, you can fire them kimusim v'yomdim. You can fire them without the prior warning here. But Rashi and Amud Aleph had another pshat, Sefer Masa. Sefer Masa means not that he has a little cheder. He has a whole school. And there are five different teachers teaching five different classes of students. So the Gemara says the normal class has 25 students. Here is a Sefer Masa. He's the principal, and all the other teachers from all the other classes come to him, and there's a big racket. Yeshua ben Gavla made a takana. They had a right to make a takana, hefker doesn't hefker, that you can't protest if someone opens up a school. He opens up a cheder in Yochatz, even though it's going to be noisy, we want to spread education for the Jewish people. But if it's going to be a big school with many different classes, it's going to be, that's already... That's too much. So that the Rishon LeGavlan out Kadei Kachi never made a takon. So that's where Rashi writes on Amud Aleph. There is a Sefer Masa Melamet Yinoikas of Kol B'nei Huyah. There is too big a noise. Okay. Too much noise. It has to be within reason. Oh, I'm asking him a Sefer Masa. Omar Rava, mitakonas Yeshua ben Gamla v'yel chefte, he made the takonas, so you have to have a cheder in every single city. In every Medina, in every metropolis, and b'chol yivir, in every, even not such a gigantic city. Even in the plain cities, you have to have a cheder. So once he made the takonas, every city is going to have a cheder. Loi mamtina yinuka mi mosa l'mosa. It's not proper that the parent should take his children one city to the other, because accidents can happen on the highway. the Gemara has an expression, Kol Adrachim. Rashi writes like that. Rashi doesn't quote the whole Gemara. Gemara says, Kol Adrachim Mecheska Sakana. When you're traveling on the highway, then it's going to be dangerous. So if you have no choice, so you say shlucha mitzvah and nizakim, okay. It's not such a miyut hamotzui. Yankov Avinu sent Yehuda. Yankov Avinu sent Yosef to see how the brothers are doing. And then Yosef is sold into slavery. So how could that happen? What happened to the role of Shluchim Mitzvein and Nizokim? So Gemara and Psochim in the first paragraph, that it was Shchiach HaZeka. The brothers hated him so much that it was Shchiach HaZeka. Shchiach HaZeka, Poshim Shat, means Amiyot HaMotzi. Amiyot HaMotzi, we spoke last week about that. Amiyot HaMotzi either means 7% or 10%. Amiyot HaMotzi, if you have... the Ramban in the beginning of Chulin says that you don't have to check for all, whatever you sheft an animal, you don't have to check for all the 70 different trefas, 70 trefas, you only have to check for those that are Amir Tamotza. So he says that checking the suchas on the lungs, that's Amir Tamotza. So in America, it's over 10%, and somehow in Eretz Yisrael, it's 7% of all the behemoths have suchas that you can't be makel on. But that's what Rabbi Yashiv thought, that maybe Amir Tamotza is 7%. And most follow the Mishkan as Yankov, who thinks that it's 10% and above. So that's probably what the Gemara means there in Pesachim. Whenever it's Shchiach HaZeka, so you don't have the right to rely on Shluch HaMitzvah in an Yizayk. So Mestamet, to travel on the highway, you can't say that what 7% of people who travel on the highway get into an accident. That's certainly not true. 7% of the people on the highway held up by highway robbers. Also not true. No, way less than 7%. So Mir Chena Motzen. So in the earlier years before they had the Takanas Reb Shur Ben Gabla, they didn't have a cheder in every city. They had no choice. You were permitted and obligated to bring your children from one city to the other. But Mir Takanas Reb Shur Ben Gabla V'Elch, after they made the Takanas, this Takanas, you have to have a cheder for young children. The whole every city has it. It's not right. You shouldn't bring their children from one city to the other. Because there is a bit of a sakana. There is a little bit of a sakana. Kol adrochem v'cheska sakana. That's what Yankov Avinu was afraid. Pen yukreinu osan. Rashi quotes. Yankov Avinu was afraid. Pen yukreinu osan. Why? Because kol adrochem v'cheska sakana. It's interesting that Netziv has a long essay on this to explain what the Chazal are talking about. Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltas has on this. What was Yankov Avinu afraid of? He was afraid maybe his son Binyamin had done some Avera and the Sotan will come to punish him with Misa B'dei Shamayim. Then you create an osan. The Gemara has there's a din of kamlag with the Rav Minei, that if a person, if the idna, at the same time that a person becomes mechuyav misa, becomes mechuyav mammon, I become mechuyav malchus, mechuyav mammon. So you only give him the misa and you don't make him pay the mammon. That's kamlag with the Rav Minei. If it's the idna. So we paskin that Kamlevi the Rabbi is only that Misa patas from Mammon and Malkas patas from Mammon. What if you have Kores? The Gemara quotes from the Chunya ben Akana, held that Hoyoses Yom Kippurim Kishabbos, just like the Mishnah says in Baba Kama, Asarev Kedisha Shal Chaver B'Shabbos, that if I burn down your barn, I don't have to pay Odom HaMazik. If I burn it down 6 days a week, I do have to pay. If I burn that on Shabbos, since I'm Chai Misa, because burning down the barn is a Malocha Havara, so I'm not chayv to pay the mum. So what if I burn down your barn on Yom Kippur? So if you do Malach on Yom Kippur, you get Malkus. But we paskin like Rav Yechanan. Malkus only patas from Mammon, come Levi Deraimina, if he actually gets the Malkus. If he did an Avera, there was no Hasroah, or there were no Edim, then you don't say, by Misa, that's a din of Tana de Bechiska, that's chayvim Misa Shegigim, Pturim and Atashlumin. Even if he was Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig, or even Beli Hasra, Beli Eidim, you still say Kam Levi Derabinet. But by Malkus, you don't say Tana de Bechizkiah doesn't apply. If the person did an Aver Sheish by Malkus, but he's not going to get the malkas because there was no hasra. Bizman hazeh, nobody's getting any malkas. Nobody has any smicha. So you can't give malkas without a bezn of smuchim. So there's no kam levi de rabbinei. So the shot is, but kores, you don't have to have hasra for kores. So if he burns down the other fellow's farm on yont, I burn down your barn or your farm on yontiv, so yontiv gets malkas. If I actually get the malkas, then I'm potter from paying the Torah's out of Amazik. If I don't get the malkas, I'm chayif to pay. But what about Yom Kippur? Maybe Yom Kippur, if I did, I burned down your barn or your farm, the mezid, I am chayif koris, even without Eidah, even without Hasra. So there's koris pata from Mammon. So we paskin only a sorb kedisha shachaber of the Shabbos. A sorb kedisha shachaber of Yom Kippur, koris does not pata from Mammon. And the Gemara quotes from Chodim and Akona ha'yoses Yom Kippurim the Shabbos. He held the Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos, just like Shabbos. Even b'shoigig, even b'li eidir, even b'li hasroi, say kam levi d'rabbanei, that's the ton of the bechizki of b'raise. So too, koris patas from mammon, even b'shoigig, even b'li hasroi. So the Gemara has a machlokes, abai v'rovim, perikei l'naris. You have a lot of discussions there about kam levi d'rabbanei, the beginning of l'naris. First half of the perik goes on and on about kam levi d'rabbanei. So the Gemara has a machlokes, abai v'rovim, what's the din of misa v'dei shamayim? It's Misa B'dei Shemayim. Also, according to Rav Mechudya Merakana, we paskin, even Koris doesn't pater from Mammon. Only Misa Malkas pater from Mammon. Koris doesn't pater, but the Shad is within Rav Mechudya Merakana, that he holds that Koris paters. What would he say by Misa B'dei Shemayim? So that's Machlokes Abai V'Rov. It's irrelevant to Halacha because we don't paskin like Rav Mechudya Merakana. So there's nothing to discuss how you paskin. We don't paskin like the whole thing. So the Gemara says there, how do you come up with this idea that Misa B'dei Shemayim, we also, according to Rav Chaim Menachem, should also apply Kam Levi D'Rabbanei? Because it says, Pen Yikrenu Oson, Yaakov Avinu was afraid, Rashi quotes, Bereishis chapter, what is it, Membeis? Yaakov Avinu was afraid, Pen Yikrenu Oson, and Oson over there means Misa B'dei Shemayim, because he was afraid, Hasot and Mekatrik, B'shas HaSakona. It's interesting what the pshat is in the pasuk. The Gemara didn't understand he's afraid an accident is going to happen on the highway. Not an accident. The Satan is going to come. He was afraid maybe his son, Binyamin, maybe he did an aver for which he deserved Misa B'dei Shemayim. And the Satan will be Mekatrik more B'shas HaSakana, Kol Adrocha Mecheska Sakana. The Sakana on the highway is a Miyachena Motzi. That he really shouldn't be worried about that. But it is a Mokam Sakana. So the Satan may come and be Mekatrik. And then Yehuda says, Anochi Erevenu Miyoditi Rakshenu. Anochi Erevenu Miyoditi Rakshenu. What does that mean? He says, I'll be an Orev in case the Satan will come to take Binyamin's life and Avera that he did. So I'll tell the Satan, take my life instead. There's such a Orvus. There is such a din of Orvus. That's how the Netziv explained. That's how the Tanoim. That's how the Gemara understood the Parsha. Yehuda volunteers Anochi Erevenu. That's the he points out. There is an institution of Orvus. An Orv means a cosigner. If I want to borrow money from the bank, I want to borrow $1 million. They're not going to lend me $1 million. They'll be afraid I won't be able to pay it back. So I have to get a multimillionaire, someone who's wealthy, to co-sign with me. In case I don't have the money, someone else who is who owns a house that's worth $1 million, I don't own so much. So someone else who has $1 million will have to co-sign for me. So the Gemara says, how do you know there's such a din of Orvus? Maybe it doesn't exist. So the Gemara first says, well, you learn that from Yehuda. Yehuda said, Anochi Erevenu, I will be the Orev. And Orev means the other fellow is really chayiv, and I want to pay instead. Let's say the loiva borrows money from the malva, and I'm the co-signer. The malva, the bank only lent money to the loiva. The bank didn't lend the money to me. I'm the co-signer, so there really shouldn't be anything to be mechayiv me. So that's what the Gemara asks. How do you know from Chumash, from Tanakh? How do you know from Tanakh that there's such a thing as Orev? So the Gemara says, learn that from Yehuda. So then the Gemara says, maybe you can learn that from Yehuda. Why? Maybe that's a different kind of an Orev. That was an Orev Shlov Dots. What's an Orev Shlov Dots? If I say, lend him $1,000 and I'll pay the money. You have no right to ask him. Usually, usually if the Malva lent money to the Leiv, and there's a cosigner, it says in the Mishnah, the end of Baba Basra, that Ein Godman Harev Tchila. You have no right to go to the Harev unless you Malva first went to the Leiv, and the Leiv doesn't have any assets, then you have a right to go past to the Harev. But you have no right to bother the Harev in the first place. If you have an Harev Kablon, there are three kinds of Harev. There's an Harev Stam. So then the Mishnah said the end of Baba Basra, Ein Godman Harev Tchila, you have no right to bother him unless you tried from the Leiv, and the Leiv is broke. He's bankrupt. Then there's an Arv Kavlon, where I say, you have the right to collect either from the Loiva or from the Malva. You can come to me without first going to the Loiva. That's an Arv Kavlon. He accepts upon himself. The Kavlon himself, you don't have to go to the Loiva. Tchila, you can come to me. Then there's an Arv Shlov Dots. I say, please lend him the $1,000 and don't pester him at all. I'll pay the whole money. Don't bother him, I'll pay. So the Gemara is asking, how do you know that there's an institution of Arev? So the Gemara wants it at the end of Baba Basra. The Gemara says, we learn it out first. The Gemara says, you learn it out from Yehuda. Yehuda says, Anochi Erevenu. So then the Gemara says, how can you learn out? Then the Gemara says, how do you have the right to learn out from Yehuda? That was a different kind of an Arev. Where are these Gemaras? Where's the Mishnah? Probably a little before the end. Here, the bottom line on Kufayin Gimel Amad Aleph. Amal v'schaveh ha'idei Arev la'yifra min ha'arev. What do you mean la'yifra? La'yifra min ha'arev t'chilo. You can't collect from the Arev first. You have to first go to the Loiva, and then you have a right to try to collect. If the Loiv doesn't have money, then they have a right to go to the Orev. So the Gemara says, take a look around 18, 20 lines into the Kufa and Gimel on the base. The Gemara says, Amar Avuna, the line begins, Amar Avuna, Minayin L'Orev the Mishtabit. How do you know that such an institution works? The Loiv borrowed money, so the Matan Nemar says, Mechayitim. How do you know the Orev is Chayit? Dechsiv, Anochi Arvenu, Miyodi Tevakshen. So the Gemara said, that's not a good right. Masikula Rav Chizda, Ha Kablonis, what does it mean? Not that Yehuda was an Orev. No, Yehuda, the way we have the Gears in the Gemara, he was a Loiva. He says to the father, Yankel Avinu, he says, give me Binyamin, and I'll be responsible for him. I'll be a Loiva. And if I don't give you back your son alive in good condition, if I don't bring back Binyamin, I'll deserve to be punished. So that's the simple girsa that the Gemara says. Yehuda was not an Arev. He used the Loshan Nechei Arvenu. An Arev means the Loive, someone else is the Loive, and I'm going to pay instead of the Loive. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. I lend money to the Loive, and the co-signer agrees to pay. So it's a Leifim in Arev Tchila. You should first go to collect from the Loive. If he doesn't have money, then you collect from the co-signer. Gemara says, you learn that from Yehuda. Gemara says, what? Yehuda was a Loive. He wasn't an Arev. That's the Girsa that we have. But you look in the Shiltas. The Shiltas had a different Girsa. How can you learn that from Yehuda for a plain Arev? Yehuda was an Arev Shlov Dots. Yehuda was an Arev. How was he an Arev? So that's what the Netziv explains in his commentary on the Shiltas. The concern that Yankel Avinu had was, maybe Binyamin Adon and Avera, maybe the Malach HaMavis, the Sotna, is going to come to me, Mekatrig, Bishas HaSakona, because Kol HaDroch Mecheska Sakona. So the Sotna will come to collect, and the Gemara says there in Ksubas that it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. Ben Yikrenu Osain, the word Osain means Misa B'dei Shamayim. And it says in Parshas Mishpatim, when the Chumash writes the whole institution of Kom Levi Derabminei, it says, where's Kom Levi Derabminei originally appear in Mishpatim in connection with the Mevelotis? Ki Notzu Anashim Nakfu Yishar V'yotzu Yeladeha. Two people were fighting with each other, really. Ki Notzu Anashim, Mar says, B'mitzu Shebimisa HaKazim Adabra. They're trying to kill each other. So a pregnant woman happens to walk in between them, so they gave her such a slam that V'yotzu Yeladeha. He was trying to kill the other guy. Instead of killing the other fellow, he missed, and he almost killed the woman. So it says, M'lo ye'osain, if the woman doesn't die, just the baby, the fetus died. So it says you have to pay. Kashi asal balu ishim and asam aflilim. You pay the mevul odis and masan yeah. But if the woman dies, then it's hata nefesh, tachas nefesh, then it's kam lebe de rabmine. Then you don't pay. That's the mocker of the din of kam lebe de rabmine. So there it says, masan yeah. Lo yasan and masan yeah. So there, asan is telling you the din of kam lebe de rabmine. And here, Yaakov Avinu says, I'm afraid to let Binyamin go pen yukrenu asan. So the Gemara says that this asan is talking about Misa B'dei Shamayim. The Satan may come to collect Misa B'dei Shamayim from Binyamin. Case Binyamin had sinned and he deserved, maybe did an aver for which he deserves Misa B'dei Shamayim. So Yehudi says, Anochi e'ervenu, if the Satan comes, I'll volunteer. Don't take my brother's life, take my life instead. That's an Orif Shlov Dots. There are three kinds of Orif. The normal Orif Stam is Ein Godvin Orif Trilo. First, the Malva has to try to collect from the Loive, only if he doesn't have assets, then you collect from the Orif. Then the second Orif is Orif Kablon, where the Orif gives him permission, if you want, you can collect from me first, if you want, collect from the Loive first, whichever you want. I'm in agreement. Then the Orif Shlov Dots, he says, you only have the right to collect from me, you shouldn't have the right to collect from the Loive. So that's how the Girsas HaGoinim was in the Gemara. The Gemara is rejecting Maskif lo Rav Chiz. Rav Chiz is not happy with Rav Huna's mocker. He says, Minayin lo Orev de Mishtabe. So Rav Chiz Taina is, it's not a good mocker for Orev. Why? So we have the Girsa because Yehuda was the Loive. He's not an Orev. He's borrowing Binyamin. He's responsible to give him back to the father. And the Girsas HaGadim was, no, that's an Orev Shlov. That is the way that the Gemara understood the whole Parsha. Has to do with the Misa B'dei Shamayim with a sudden. So that's what the Rashi on our daf is referring you to, that whole idea. Asotan the Katrik B'shas HaSakona. Wow. That's not at all Pasha Pshat. That's not the way we usually used to reading the Parsha of Yaakov Avinu. Pen Yikrenu Asim. The Tanoim had a whole different understanding of the Parsha. So Nachamal, so what does the Gemara say? Before the Takanos of Yeshua ben Gamla, so they had to take children from one city to the other. There was a slight sakone, but it was a meal chain of matzah. So we have the right to assume that Shluchim Mitzvah Einim Nizak, since you're sending the child to learn Torah, you have to worry about this. It's not a meal ta matzah, so you have to be worried. If there would be a meal ta matzah, you wouldn't be allowed to send the child there. But now that you have Takanas, Yeshua ben Gamla, so every city, every Medina, every big metropolis, and every smaller city is going to have a cheder. So it's not right. You shouldn't send the children. That's not the shluchim mitzvah. And that's the only way to do the mitzvah, by putting them in a sakona. You can do the mitzvah by letting them go to the local cheder. Unless it's mamish, no sakona at all. No sakona at all. I know a fellow who lives in Manhattan. In Manhattan, a lot of chadorim, a lot of yeshivas. He sends a child to New Jersey. He can afford it, so he sends a child every day by taxi. He feels that the education is better somewhere in New Jersey. Okay. He feels that there's no sakana at all going over the bridge, the George Washington Bridge. No sakana at all. But if there's a slight sakana, even if it's a mere chain of matzah, then it's not right. So the Gemara says, now that we have Takanos of Yeshua ben Gamla, you don't take a child mimasa lemasa. It's not right, because there is a slight sakana, because kol hadroch mecheska sakana. There's an interesting line in the Maram Shif, in one place, I think it's in Ksubas. He writes on a Taisus, that there's a complicated Taisus, hard to read. So he says there are different drochem in reading the Taisus. Kol hadroch mecheska sakana. All of Shatim that they give, none of them read straight. Interesting usage of the expression. Different drachm are learning, none of them fit in well. Anyway, but here it means traveling on a highway, travel on a highway is always a little bit of a sakana. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to take the children, let's say there's a local cheder in the block where I live, and I want to send my child to the cheder that's 4 blocks away. It's from one shul to the other shul, but you're not crossing over a river or anything. It's not a different city. So that's not a problem. That's not a sakana. Beknishta. It's not called a drach mecheska sakana, me a derech ailechas me year to year. not to, to walk four blocks in the city instead of down the block to the corner. That's not a sakana. The mafsik nahar loy maptina, but if it's from one cheder to the other and there's a river in between, then it is a shtikol sakana, then it's not right. If there's a cheder and you're a block, don't have a child go over the river. Unless we ikit tiktura maptina. If you have let's say the George Washington Bridge, he lives in Manhattan, he sends his child to New Jersey every day. So if you have a titura means a wide bridge that the kid is not going to fall off of. So that's no sakana. However, the ika gamla la namtina. But if you just have, you don't have a normal bridge like the George Washington Bridge with so many lanes that there's nothing to be worried about. You just have that someone's going to take the child to cheder, but they have to cross over a river, and the river doesn't have a normal size bridge. It has a bar of wood as a plank, and everyone has to walk on the plank carefully. So most of the time the children will be able to walk on the plank, but we're afraid, Rashi says, maybe the child will one day be playing on the plank and that'll fall into the river and he'll drown. So there is a shtikl sakana, so then it's not right. In mafsik nahara, if there's a river mafsik in between the cheder near you and the cheder further away, so if it's a wide bridge, nothing to be concerned about, no problem. The ika gamla, only a plank of wood, lamaptina. Then it's a shtikl sakon, it's not bad. How many students are you allowed to have in a class when they're little children? So the Gemara says, Vi Omar Rava, on the last narrow line, on Daf Chof Aleph Man Aleph, Vi Omar Rava, he makes another statement, Sach Mikri Dardiki Esmer Chamisha Yinuki. A Malamed, normal for a Malamed is to have 25 little children. And he's going to hack with them. He's going to read Abba Ben. He's going to read Chumash, Bereshis, Borlakim. He's going to teach them easy things that you teach in the first grade. Sure. What if you have 50 Talmidim, Yikar Chamshin, must be in a trade. Then you have to have two Rebbes. One Rebbe for 25, the other Rebbe 25. What if you have only Arboim, if you have 40? So you don't have to hire another Rebbe, but you have to have an assistant Rebbe. Makminan Reish, Duchna. What is a Duchan? A Duchan is a platform. That's what they point out on this side. We call it duchanim, because when the Kohanim give the Brichas Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, they used to stand on a platform. Some of the Sfardish Poskim hold that Bizman is that also. The Kohanim, if they don't stand on a platform, they're not Yotzei Duchanim. They're not Yotzei Nesias Kapai. So I remember many years ago, we spent the summer in Eretz Yisrael in Beit Vegan. And I davened a few times in Yeshiva Kol Torah, so they have their Talmidim. Some of the Talmidim are Sfardim, most of them are Ashkenazim. So when it came to, every day they were Duchen. So when it came to Duchening, so first they let all the Sfardish Kohanim go up on the platform. And then there was room for another two or three people. So a couple of Ashkenazi Kohanim would also go up. Because by the Ashkenazim, nobody holds that the platform is Ma'akib B'Yedit. It's better to have a platform so the voice should carry better. You have to, they have to duchen, they have to say, Nesias Kapayim, the Kol Rom. How loud do they have to scream that all the people in the back of the shul should be able to hear? So if you stand on a platform, your voice will carry even further. But by the Ashkenazim, none of the poskim hold that the platform is market. You should stand on a platform. So after all the Sfardish Kohanim went up on the steps in front of the Aron Kodesh, so then... then they let the Ashkenazi Kohanim also go up. So the Gemara says, a duchen means a platform, and a reish duchna means an assistant Rebbe who's going to probably sit or stand on a platform, and he's going to chazer with the children. He sits or stands on a platform that the children should be able to hear him. And the Rebbe teaches them, and the reish duchna is going to review with them. Young children. You have to teach him by rote. You have to teach Abba Ben. You have to teach Bereshis, Barlakim, whatever. You teach Chumash to the young children. So the Reish Duchna is the assistant Rebbe. And he has to be salaried. The Messiah and Lemi Masa. The Reish Duchna should also be salaried by the community. Every community has to put up money. That's Rishub and Gamlas Takana. Every big city, every small city has to put up money to have a public education, or a Torah education for the children. Now the Gemara has an interesting machlokes. The Omar Rabbi has another statement. Hi Mikri Inuke Digoris. Abba Malamed, who's doing a decent job. Dikachrina Digoris Tvemine. There's another one who seems to be able to teach more. He's a better Rebbe than the first one. So do you have the right to get rid of the first Rebbe to have the better Rebbe. So the first Rebbe, the first Amora says, not a good idea. It's a psychological argument over here. It's not right to get rid of the first Rebbe, because the second one will build up in his mind, I'm so high and mighty, I'm such a good Malama. They fired the first guy in order to hire me. So he later on, he'll be lazy and he won't prepare. Why? Because if they fired the first guy and they took him instead of Dilma, Rashule. So Rashi says the new guy will get lazy, Rashi, Yispoer Belibo, he will brag in his heart. Shein Kamosa, he thinks he's God's gift to the world. They fired the first guy and they hired me. He's Rashel Minatinoikis, and he won't pay attention. He thinks he's so gewaldig. But Loyira, he won't be afraid, Shemi Yisalku, he won't be afraid that they may fire him, because they fired the first guy to hire him. So obviously everybody realizes he's better than the first guy. And we don't really accept that opinion. We all like the second view. Rabdimi Meradoma, he disagrees, Faker. Koshkin de Goris Tvei, Faker. If you fire the first guy, hire the second guy, then the second guy will realize he may be fired also. If they get a better Rebbe, they'll fire him and they'll take the better one. And that's the klal, kinasoy from Tar B'chochma. Kinasoy from Tar B'chochma. It says on the side by the letter Dalet, this comes up later, for Beis Amar Aleph. Yeah. The din is, the Gemara is going to have on Amar Beis. There's a din of Hasogaz Gvul. In Chumash, the word Hasogaz Gvul means, if I have a farm next to your farm, and there's a fence separating in between, so in the middle of the night, I'm going to go and move over the fence, and I'll steal 10 feet from your backyard. You won't even realize it. Your farm is so gigantic, you won't even realize that somebody moved the fence. I remember for many years, I go in the summertime to Tannersville. So there's a shul there that's over 100 years old. Rabbi Chana Wasserman used to daven in that shul. All the Litva, what's her name? Dora Golding. The Goldings had a summer home there. All the wealthy Gvirim, all the wealthy Jewish Balabatim used to have summer homes. So some of them had summer homes in Hunter, New York, that's further up in the mountains. Some of them had in Tannersville. So Mrs. Golding had her home. Mr. and Mrs. Golding had their summer home in Tannersville. And they didn't want to walk to shul. The shul was halfway to Hunter. So they paid to have the shul moved. So they picked up the whole shul. And he still has the beams that they needed in order to move the shul. And I have photographs from the time that they moved it on the highway. Moved the whole building. Moved the whole shul. That it should be right next to her home. And she built a mikveh. She needed a mikveh. And she built a nice mikveh. And she said it should be free of charge. Not going to charge anybody. And for many years they didn't charge, and then they had to pay a mikvah lady. So then they had to charge something. Then they had to redo the whole mikvah. They had to make a whole new one because it was on. So big tzaddikim, big tamir chacham. The Goldings were Litvisha. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman used to stay by them, and other Litvisha Rashi Yeshiva used to stay by them. Rabbi Chana Wasserman sometimes would send the letters from Europe after he went back to Europe. So he wrote the letters in Yiddish because she didn't know Hebrew, and he misspelled the words in Yiddish so she should be able to read it. If he would have spelled it correctly, she probably wouldn't be able to read it. So they have the letters printed. They have the facsimile of the letters. So he misspelled the words that this Mrs. Golding should be able to read. Her husband apparently was not the great tzaddik that the wife was, but the wife was the great tzaddik. Yeah. So the original din. Oh, I started to tell a story. Yeah. So the mechitza in the shul was never too high. It was never shoulder high. And Rabbi Chanan davened there. All the tzaddikim davened there. Rabbi Broya davened there. Rabbi Broya davened there for many years. The shoulder height. That's when the whole machlokes came up in America. How whether you need a mechitza or not. So someone had to say how high the mechitza has to be. So Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, shoulder height. Then Rav Soloveitchik also said shoulder height. But for many years, Rav Soloveitchik's minion in Boston, it was not shoulder height. And in Tannersville also, we were happy if there was a mechitza. It wasn't going to be shoulder height. So I remember one summer, Rabbi Breuer, I don't remember if he was still alive or not. I think he was not alive. So Rabbi, so one Friday, there was a fellow who learned in Lakewood, who bought a home across the street from the shul. So he locked the shul, and he made the mechitza a few inches higher. And he thought no one's going to realize it. An idiot. Thought no one's going to realize it. So they came to shul Friday night. Everybody realized something strange. It took a while till they figured out what was going on. So they said, right after Shabbos was over, they took it down. They took down the Haisofa. It shouldn't. The Breuer's family came there. They felt that's a busha to their father. The father always, Rabbi Breuer, always davened in the shul. Rabbi Chana Basman davened. All the tzaddikim, they all davened. There was nothing at the time that they davened. There weren't so many women in the shul to begin. There weren't so many people in the shul to begin. So you didn't need shoulder height. There wasn't a big issue. Anyway, so there's a din of chumash, masik vul. If you take down the fence, even though the guy won't realize it, the next neighbor, he has so many acres. So I stole a half an acre or something. So that's gzeila by karka. That's a din of hasogas gvul. But in the classical poskim in the later generations, they talk about hasogas gvul. And this long tesis on Amarachik, Mitzudis Adag Men Adag, this is what we call Hasagas Gvul now. If someone has a parnasa and I open up, let's say he has a pizza shop, and I open up a competing pizza shop near him, so I'm going to take away half of his parnasa. See, if he makes $1 million a year on his pizza shop, and I'm going to open up a competing shop, and now he'll only make $500,000, and I'll make $500,000. So that you're allowed to do. But we're talking, if it's ruinous competition, He used to make $100,000 a year, and he worked hard, and now he's only going to make $50,000 a year, and that, and he has a whole family. That's not enough to live on. So that's a din of Hasogas Gvul. Then you have to protect the first guy. Unless the people don't enjoy his pizza. He doesn't know how to make good pizza. They don't enjoy. But Balei's Brewery, we don't have any other pizza shop. So we're not mechuyev, the Rabbanim, we're not mechuyev to protect the guy who does a lousy job. So they would allow someone else to open up another pizza shop, and if the kids enjoy the other pizza better than their first one, so be it. So the first guy is going to lose out. So the one exception to the rule that the Gemara has is kinasoy from tar b'chokhma. If the second, another malamed, there's one malamed in the neighborhood, then he has a little cheder in his apartment, and he teaches children. Another malamed comes, and he opens up another cheder in the neighborhood. And the new Malamed is younger, and he's more energetic. And the old one is already 75 years old, and he's not as energetic as the young new guy. So he's going to ruin the whole guy, the old guy's parnasa. No one's going to want to send their children. The parents went to the old Malamed, who's now 75 years old, but now they want a younger, energetic person. So the Gemara said, there's no dinam hasogas gvul on learning Torah, teaching Torah, because kinasoy from tar b'chokhma. The more competition there is in Torah, so the more Torah there will be. And that's what we want. That's what we want. There should be more learning Torah. So the Gemara here quotes that idea, would they fire the first Malamed if they get a better one? So the first Amora thought, Rava thought, you shouldn't fire the first one because the second one is going to think he's God's gift to the world. He's going to be negligent, not going to do a good job. And we assume, like the second mandam, Abdimi Menador Fakert. We assume Koshkendigor is stay. If they fire the first guy because of him, he knows they may fire him because of someone better. So he'll be on the ball, he'll be alert, and he'll be careful. Okay. Then there's another shayla. Yom Rabba, Hani Trey Mikri Dardiki. You have two malamdim. Which one should you hire? Chad Goris. Velodai. One of them covers a lot of ground, but he's not so careful to make sure that the Talmidim, he doesn't give tests, and he doesn't keep on testing the children to make sure that they understood everything that he said. V'chad, daik v'logoros, he doesn't cover that much ground, because he makes sure that the students understand it, but at the end of the year, they cover less. So the gifted students didn't need this. They picked it up the first time. But for the average student, they need the chazar. So, which one of the two should you hire? So the Gemara says, Masvin and Hahud de Goris Valod Dai. That's a machlekes in the Gemara. So again, a machlekes Rabbe and the same too. Rabbe Rabdim and Ador. So Rabbe says, which one do we hire? Masvin and we should hire the Malam and Hahud de Goris Valod Dai. We should hire the one who covers more ground, even though he's not so careful to make sure the Talmidim understand everything. Because Shabeshta Mimela Nafke, whatever mistakes the children will have, over time it'll straighten itself out. they'll hear from the other children, or they'll later in life, they'll pick up the correct shot. And we don't pass like that. We assume like the second Madam Rabdim, and our daughter disagrees. Says, no, Masvina did daik for logoris. It's better to hire the one who's going to cover less ground, but it's going to review with the students more, so the students will understand it better. Why shabeshta, if the child will pick up a mistake, even the olol, if he's going to pick up a mistake, he's going to have the bug in his head forever, he won't be able to chase it out of his head. How do you know? Dichziv. So he tells over the whole story, that Yoav was a general of the Jewish army. It says, Shisha chadashim yashir shem Yoav v'chol Yisrael, Ad hachris kol zocha be'edom. They wiped out Amalek, but they only wiped out the male. They didn't kill the women. Because of the comment to David, when David meets this Tzar Tzva Yisrael, Yoav, so he says, how come you didn't kill the women? The din is, in a normal Muhammad, you're only allowed to kill the soldiers. You're not allowed to kill the civilians. So Noshim and Taf are the civilians. Taf means before the age of 20. And Noshim are women, because in the normal armies, they never drafted anybody before the age of 20, and they never drafted women in the army. So you're not allowed to kill civilians. So Noshim and Taf, you don't kill. But by Amalek, because Amalek is not a normal Muhammad, Amalek wanted to wipe out the whole Jewish people. They wanted to kill men, women, and children. So that's why by them it's a chiyuv to kill all of them. Because they wanted to kill men, women, and children. What's also an exception to the rule was Achrem Tachrimim. Achrem Tachrimim also, to wipe out the Zaynumas in Eretz Yisrael is also to kill the women also, I think. No? Achrem Tachrimim, because that's a choybas. Ram, that's not a din melchama. When you wage melchama, so you only kill the soldiers, you're not allowed, that's an international rule in war, you don't kill civilians. Every melchama, the Maharal in Prague has a commentary on Rashi al HaTorah, that's called Gur Aryeh. So Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Vayuriyank miyot vayetzelot, vayachet sasal masharito, and so on. So Rashi writes, Vayir Hashem yehorek Vayetzalo Shema Yarag Acherit. He was afraid he'd make kill other people. What do you mean make kill other people? Habala Harga Hashkem Lahargo. So what is he? That's what all the Mefarshim ask. Rashi is quoting the Medrash. The Medrash says that. Vayoyang Meod Shema Yehori. Vayetzalo Shema Yarag Acherit. So why is he afraid Shema Yarag Acherit? Muhammad. So the Maharal in Prague says, and if it means he was afraid he may kill innocent bystanders, innocent civilians. So he said, every war in the world is like that. You're not allowed to kill civilians, but every war in the world, accidentally, civilians always get killed. There were more civilians killed by the American army in the Second World War than since Hakamas HaMedina. The Arabs are always complaining that the Jews are killing civilians. Whenever there's a Muhammad, you always kill civilians, unfortunately. When you have a heter melchama, so there's a heter ritzicha to kill the enemy, the soldiers, the heter sikun to put your soldiers into sakana, and unfortunately, always innocent civilians always get killed. So the Maharal Miprak says that's kol melchama shebaolam are like that. So that's the whole discussion. What was Yaakov Avinu afraid shem yarag acherim? That's the din of melchama. You have a right for self-defense, and when you fight a battle, so always innocent people get killed, unfortunately. So usually the din is you're not allowed to kill civilians. That's Noshim Etav, because they never drafted the goyim, never drafted women in the army, and they never drafted Taf. Taf is before the age of 20. They're civilians. The two exceptions to the rule are Zaynum, because it says Achim Tachrimim, and Amalek. So Amalek is an exception to the rule because Amalek wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, men, women, and children. They weren't waging a war, according to the Hilchas Muhammad. They were prepared to kill Noshim and Taf of the Jewish people. They wanted to wipe out all the Jewish people. So that's why the Torah made an exception by them. Melchemes Amalek is even then women and children. But why is Zaynumis is like that? So the Zaynumis is a different thing. The Rambam writes, it's not really a din of Melchemes, it's a din l'chi of Misa. We assume that Zaynumis for all of the Avodah Zarah, they did a lot of Averis. So the Torah says, Hachem Tachrimim, the Rol Chayiv Misa. So the Rol Chayiv Misa for all the Averis. The Rambam writes a din. Misha Bo Liyodo, one of the Zaynumas, for Loi Haragoi, if I bump into someone from the Zionumis and I have the ability to kill him, and I would get away with it, if they're going to put me in prison forever, so I'm probably not mechuyev to kill the Zionumis. Yeah, I'm mechuyev to do a mitzvah if you're going to suffer for the rest of your life in that mitzvah. But the Rambam says if you can kill the one from the Zionumis, and you'll get away with it, then, and if you didn't kill him, then you're mevatel a mitzvah. The pashtus is that that's because hachem tachrimim is a chayvus hariga. It's not a din melchama. If it would have been a din melchama, it's only a national din. It's a chayvus hatzibah. It's not a chayvus hayochid. So the Rambam understood, obviously, that hachem tachrimim is a chayvus hayochid, not a din melchama. Pashtus is by Amalek, there is no such din. If I bump into an Amaleki and I didn't kill him, I'm a batla mitzvah. The Pashtus says that it doesn't apply to Amalek. The Rambam only said it by Zayin Umas. In the biography of the Chasam Sofer, they have such a story. It's probably above a Maisa, that the Chasam Sofer once identified a person as an Amaleki. How can they identify? What facial features they have? Well, above a Maisa. It's Ruach HaKodesh, whatever. So he said they have to kill him. So they drowned him in the mikveh. Sounds like a Bava Mice. The din of Bechemes HaMalek is only Derech Melchama. If the Jewish people have an army, if you don't have an army, just a Yochid. The Rambam only says that, the Rambam only quotes that din by Zayin Umas. Because Zayin Umas, Hachrem Tachrimim, is not restricted only in the form of Melchama. It's a Chavis Hariga, because the Averis that they did. So that's why you have to kill the men, women, and the children. But whenever you have a Muhammad, you don't kill Noshim and Taf. The one exception to the rule to that is Amalek, because they wanted to wipe out the Jewish people on Noshim and Taf. But by Amalek, the Pashtus, by Zayin Umas, there's a Chayvus Hariga.
For the Zayin Umas, how young is Taf? Like, do we consider them to be Odevot Zar?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a question. Irani Dachas by us also. It says you have to kill Anoshim and Anoshim Etaf. So Anoshim and Anoshim only kill if they worship the Avodah Zarah. So the Taf also, Apipash, they only kill them if they worship the Avodah Zarah. There's a Tesefta in Sanhedrin about that. There's, I think, Machlokes Hatanoi, maybe, if you kill a Taf, Irani Dachas, if they didn't worship Avodah Zarah. So we assume only if they did worship Avodah Zarah. So how old did they have to be that it's considered worshiping Avodah Zarah? A little child, the parents take him to church. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what they're doing. You have to have some cutoff point. I don't know. I don't know what the age is. Anyway, so David HaMelech bumps into Yoav Sartzov and he says, why do you only kill the male? Why don't you kill the women? Amalek is the exception to the rule that it's a chayvus melchama. Normally, melchama, you don't kill Nashim and Taf because they're civilians, and there you do kill. So he says, "My time, Abdus Hachi, Amalek dichsiv timchazech Amalek. You only kill the men." Yeah, Amalek, but that's not the correct pronunciation. We read it zech Amalek. He wiped out the whole zech Amalek. So what did his malamed taught him? Amalek, I know zech akriyun. When I was in cheder, the Rebbe taught us mikra. The Rebbe taught us Tanakh, he was teaching us Chumash, he pronounced it what? Zohar, Timcha, Zohar Amalek. That's quite a mistake. The Rebbe pronounced Zohar Amalek. So there was a great Goyen, Rabbi Shulam Roth. He was a Rav in Europe before the war, and then he survived the war. After the war, he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was in the Rabbanut. They asked him to write the tshuva about Yom HaAtzmaut. So he has the official tshuva. What's the name of his svarim? Kol Mevasa. Shalos Tshuvos Kol Mevasa. He was a great goy and adir. You read from his svarim. My father met him. For my father was born in Europe, and he was the rabbi in my father's little village for a month or two before my father came to America. My father said he was a boki nifla, unbelievable boki. My father told us a story that on one occasion there was a bris in town. My father, with another child his age, used to learn Yerideya. My father learned to envision it to yeshiva. And then after a couple of years, so he came back home, and he used to learn with the Dayan. He used to learn Yerideya with the Dayan in the city. He and another fellow, who later on also came to America, and he learned in yeshiva, and he was also in the rabbinate. They're both in the rabbinate. So they were one sitting by Bris, a Suda by Bris, and this Rabbi Shulam Roth was appointed the rabbi in this little village, and the Dayan was talking and learning. So Meshulam Roth mentioned there's a Chuvas HaRosh Klal, this, him and this. He tells a chapter and a verse exactly where the Rosh says that the Bali HaTosfos V'gedolim B'chochma V'minyan, greater than the Ri and the Rabbi Tam, greater B'chochma V'minyan than the Ramam and the Rif. So, and he said exactly where the Chuvas HaRosh is. So the Dayan turned around to the two young teenagers, and he said, he can say whatever he wants. There's no Chuvas HaRosh in town. He can make up whatever he wants. I don't know if he's telling the truth. Now, that's a famous line. All the history books quote that, but Dayan didn't know. So that day they were learning. So after the invention, they went to shul to learn. So they were learning every day. And the Shach on every page in every day quotes the Marshal from the Yamshul Shlomo and Kulin. And usually, I don't remember ever looking up a Marshal. When I learned the Shachnik, I never looked up. For some reason or another, they didn't understand the Marshal, so they took out the Yamshul Shlomo to look it up. The Yamshul Shlomo quoted exactly. It was a half an hour later. The Yamshul Shlomo quoted that Shuvas HaRosh, that Simon, and that Ois, exactly, like the Rav said. So the Dayan was so embarrassed. The Rav said exactly the Maror Malkin. He was known as a big, fantastic book, a big Talmud Chacham, a very big Talmud Chacham. He has one section, I think, in the two halakim of Kol Melasa. He has, I think, in the end of the first volume, he has the Oris on things from the Vilna Gaon. So he has, in the Maisa Rav, they claim that when the Vilna Gaon, one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon wrote up on Hogas from the Gro. So they write that when the Vilna Gaon had them lain Parsha Zocha, they pronounce it Timcha as Zecher Amolik, the two segals. And then they have a comment from Rav Chaim Balozhiner before they printed the Maaser Rabbah. They showed it to Rav Chaim Balozhiner. He says he was by the Gro. He says he doesn't remember that at all. He's pretty sure the Gro said, he's sure the Gro said Zecher Amolek, a Tzera in a second. Zecher Amolek. He said maybe in his old age he changed his Hanoga. Maybe he said Zecher, but he never heard that. He heard Zecher Amolek. So that's the question. So a lot of yeshivas, a lot of shuls, they're laying over the pasuk twice. Timcha Zecher Amolek. So Rav Meshulam Roth points out, he thinks that was the mistake over here. The Malamed taught them Timcha Ezecher Amalek, because he gives a mashal, when you have a word, a noun, let's say Oshon. Oshon is smoke. Oshon, a comet's Oshon. When you have it in smicha, it says Eshen. But Vayala Shana Ke Eshen Hakivshon. That's a pasuk. No, Vayala Shana Ke Eshen Hakivshon. When you have a word that's comets, when you make it in smichas, eshen hakivshan, so you make it into segel. So the Malamed taught them the way they quote in the Maaser Rav, that the pasuk says, timcha es zecher amolek, so zecher is the smichas of zocher. Not that the Rebbe pronounced it zocher amolek. The Rebbe pronounced it zecher amolek, like they claim in the name of the Vilna Gaon. And the mistake was that it's not zecher, it's not the smichas of zocher, it's supposed to be zecher amolek. That's what he interprets in the Gemara. Meshulam Roth thinks that's what it means over here. Not that the Malamed mispronounced the word Zocher, he mispronounced it Zecher, and the Talmidim walked away with the mistaken impression that Zecher is the smichas of Zocher. Also, Shagla the Rabbi, so Yoav went to his Malamed and he said, how do you teach him? He says, yeah. He tells him he pronounced it the wrong way, either Zocher, the way people usually mean, or Zecher, the way Meshulam Roth says. So the Talmud Yoav took a sword and was ready to slaughter the Rebbe. Shokal Safsira Limiktele. He took a sword, he's going to kill the Rebbe. Amale, Amai, why are you killing me? I made a mistake in teaching. Why do you want to kill me? So he says, that Pasuk, the Pasuk says, O Ros Malachas Hashem Ramiya. You are the Malamed and you taught us wrong. So he said, okay, so I'm cursed. Shavkeluhu Gaba, leave me alone. The Lakem the Oros. I have a curse from the Tanakh. So what do you want to kill me? Amale, no, Ksiv. The end of the pasuk is Va'or Maneach Arba Midam. Cursed is the one who doesn't kill the Rebbe, who taught the wrong thing to the Talmidim. Wow. So what happened? What was the end of the story? So the two versions, Ika de Ami Katri, Ika Ami Le Katri. One version has it that Yoav Takeh murdered his Rebbe, because that's what it says in the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Oros Melachas Hashem Yirmiyah Va'or Maneach Arba Midam. He's supposed to kill the Rebbe. The other version has it, no, Lo Katri. He didn't kill him. Two different things. Oros Melachas Hashem Emir, that's one curse. Or Meneach Abba Medan, the peace now. The peace that people who just want to make peace at every expense. You don't always make peace. Sometimes there's a chiv to go to Muhammad. You're not always supposed to be for peace. two versions. Then the Gemara says, "We Amar Rav, another day, Bikri Nuk and Shas Tavchalun, and Soy from Masa Kulan Kmus." Why? Say that the Lahada. Whenever there's a Hepsid Mammon, he won't be able to retrieve it. So then you don't have to want him in advance. If you have a secretary, and the secretary doesn't type, secretary sends out all the letters on time, but you would like it a different format. So secretary is from the old school. You have to show her a few times. And if she still doesn't want to change, then you have a right to fire her. Remember, there was once a dinter in the OU. They had a secretary. He didn't know how to use... she used to type letters, but she didn't... So every letter she would type separately. And if you know how to use a computer, you can type 1,000 letters in one day. You have to type each letter, 1,000 letters in one day, just change the name and the address on top. The rest of the letter, she didn't know how to use a computer. So they fired her. They fired her. So there was a whole entire, what right did they have to fire her? They had a whole ASIC. Yeah. So to fire a worker, you always have to warn them in advance. But these people, if it's a b'seder lo'hoda, then it's Muslim or Yomdin, it's self-understood, they better do a good job, and if not, they're gonna lose their job. Muslim or Yomdin. Then the Gemara has the din of Hasogas Gvul. It's interesting. When they went to Hagrizim and Harevel, I think there were 11 Arurim. They said 11 things. Everything for Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara Saita. First they said Baruch. First they said, all the 11 verses said Baruch, and everybody said Amen. Then they said Orer, the one who does Fakert, and everybody said Amen. So the one of the Psukim says, Orer Shochei Bimcho Santo. You're not allowed to sleep with your mother-in-law. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, but there's a Machloikis, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Ishmael. It says, you're not allowed to have Isho Bita. How's the Pasuk say? I forgot the Loshon HaPasuk. The Pasuk sounds like they're both Chayiv Misa. The man is Baal Isho Bita, so they're both Chayiv Misa. His wife is not Chayiv Misa. The second one is the Chayiv Misa, or not Isha Bita. Yeah, Isha Bita. Isha the Ima, Isha Bita. So Rabbi Akiva, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, that the only time there's an Iser Misa by Isha Bita is if his wife is alive, and then he's Baal Chamosa. But Chamos Alacha Misas Ishta, that's a Machloikas HaTanoim. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva that if the wife is no longer alive, there's no Chiyav Misa. So Rashi writes on the Gemara, even though there's no Chiyav Misa, but there is an Iser Kores. I think Rashi writes, there is an Iser. There is an Iser. What's the Iser? Oru Shochei V'mcho Santo. How did Rashi know? Maybe Oru Shochei V'mcho Santo is only when the wife is still alive. The wife is not alive, maybe there's no Isser. According to Rabbi Akiva, that there's no Chiyav Misa, maybe there's no Isser either. So apparently Rashi understood that the Arurim, the same, it would appear from Rashi, Rashi seems to have understood those 11 Arurim must be adding on something over and above what it says in the other Pesukim, the Chumash. So Isha Bita already says in the Pasuk in Chumash. So what's added on by Oru Shochei V'mcho Santo? The Rashi says it goes on Chosanta Lacha Misa Sishtoi, that despite the fact that based on the other pasuk there's no Chiyav Misa, but still there is an Isa. So Rashi holds that there's Orur, but there's no Koris. I think Rashi holds no Koris, and other Mishanim hold that there is Koris also. Whether there's Misa Chamosa Lacha Misa Sishtoi is a Machalik Satanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, whether there's Misa or not. So we pass my Rabbi Kiva, there's no Misa. But is there, so an Isa there is, Rashi and the other Rishonim hold there is an Isa. I think Rashi holds it's only Orur. Orur is up to a lower level. In order to get Malkus, you have to violate an Aver that's similar to Losachsim Shabedisha. That's to say Lo, or Yishome Pen Leyal. Here it says Orur Shochei V'mechol Santo. So that's not similar to Losachsim Shabedisha, so he probably wouldn't get the Malkus. So I think Rashi holds that it's only an Issa Oru, and I think some other Rishonim, the Ramban, I think, holds that there is Koris also. And that's a question, would the Vlad be a Mamzer or not? Would the child be a Mamzer? Usually a child is a Mamzer if someone is Boal Achosa, Boal Eshesish, Boal Ima, beat on someone, whenever you violate an Issa Koris. So then there's Mamzeris. So if you hold there's only an Issa Orur, there's no Koris, so the child should not be a Mamzer. The child should not be a Mamzer. And if you hold that there's an Issa Koris, the child should be a Mamzer. Should depend on that. There used to be a rabbi I think in Woodridge, New York. He was a rabbi in upstate New York in the mountains. Didn't have too much, he wasn't kept busy at all year long. Somehow his father supported him. He sat and he learned all the time and he wrote svarim. So one, he was a rabbi in the community. So one fine day, a couple comes, they want a bar mitzvah their son on Shabbat. They want their son to have a bar mitzvah. So he asked. It seemed to be an age gap between the husband and the wife. So it turned out the father of the child was first married, and then his wife passed away, and then he married his mother-in-law. He married his mother-in-law, and they had a child. And now the child is bar mitzvah, and they want the kid to get an aliyah. So bar mitzvah you got to make anyway, whether he's a mamzer or not. So the Rav wrote a whole tshuva, whether the child is a mamzer or not. So often it should depend. This was Rabbi Alan Schwartz's uncle, was the rabbi. Rabbi Alan Schwartz teaches Tanakh in the college. I forgot the uncle's name. Shlomo somebody. Forgot his name. Big Talmud Chacham, very big Talmud Chacham. So the Chorot should depend whether there's Koris or not. But he quotes Achrayim and say not so. Because since Isha Vita there is Koris, Lachamisa Sishta there's no Koris. But if it wouldn't have been Lachamisa Sishta, there would have been Koris. So some Achrayim hold, even if you hold it's only Orur, the child will also be a Mamzer. Not this whole Pakeret. Even though normally in Isha Koris, the child will be a Mamzer. But over here, since it started off as an Isha Misa, the Misa is taken off. So even if you hold there is Koris, but the Isa was Huklash, maybe over here it's not a Mamzer. So there's room to say in either direction. There are different opinions in Achrayim, whether the child is a Mamzer or not. Yeah. Sanachma, what's over here? So here you have the pasuk, Ora Masik Vul Re'ehu. So a lot of recent svarim assume that Hasogas Gvul, if you mapsed the other fellow's parnasa, that's included in the Ora Masik Vul Re'ehu. And others, Taina, what are you talking about? Hasogas Gvul is a move over the fence, you move over the border. If you steal Karka, Rashi and the Rambam both write from the Sifru and the Sifrei. If you steal over the border, if you move over the border in Chutz Laaretz, you're only in violation of Lo Sigzol or Lo Signov. If the neighbor realizes that you stole an acre of his farm, then it's Lo Sigzol. If he doesn't realize it, then it's Lo Signov. But Masigvul, that's only if you steal Karka and Eretz Yisrael. If you steal Karka and Chutz Laaretz, and no Issa, Lesas Gvorech Benachaloscha Shatincha. The Issa Hasagazul is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Shad is here. The Pasuk says, Or Masik Vul Re'eyu. Why did Achrayim assume that it goes on taking away someone else's parnos? I open a shop in ruinous competition to the other fellow and I put him out of business. So that's Or Masik Vul Re'eyu. Or Masik Vul Re'eyu means I move over the fence. So some of the Gedolim wrote 100 years ago. No, just like Rashi assumes, Or Shochevim Chosanto must be adding something onto the other Pasuk. Because you already have a Pasuk, Isha Bita is also. So what do you need? Another Pasuk, Or Shochevim Chosanto? That must mean to tell me that there's an Issa, even Lacha Misa Sishto, even though there's no Chiyav Misa. There is an Issa, Or Shochevim Chosanto. So to over here, the Achrayim assume that Or Masuk Vulayehu must be adding on something over and above the other Pasuk that says, Lasasuk Vulayacha. So that's why they assume that it goes on Hasogas Gul, on Parnosa, what the Gemara has over here. The Gemara has the din. Amar Avuna, Hai Bar Mavua, Du Kirechaya. He has a mill, and he uses it, and he rents out use for the mill, then he makes a parnasa. And then another fellow in the same mavui, he sees, hey, he's making a lot of money, I'll do the same thing. So he makes a mill, he buys a mill, and he opens it, and he puts up signs all over the city. They can rent from him, and he'll charge a dollar less than the other guy. So he'll take away all the customers. So he says, you're not allowed to do that. You're ruining my parnasa. You're not allowed to take away my parnasa. The Gemara is going to discuss, is it true or is it not true? This is this used to be half of the Dine Torah in Tinek. Someone would open up a pizza shop and make a fortune of money. Then another guy would open up a pizza shop down the block, take away half of his money. So take away half of his parnasa. So that's a question. Is it ruinous competition or is it not? So instead of making $1 million, I'll make $500,000. Is that doing well? The only time it's an iser, if it's going to be kapaskas lechevasi, if I don't make a parnasa anymore. So then the din is, you have to protect the one who came first. Yeah, this is a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Thank you.